And there you are. You like clockwork, you, aren't you? Clockwork blancmange. A sweet treat to end the week. Ooh, that sounded creepier out loud than I imagined, to be honest. Quick, come on in before my jokes get any worse. So, how have you been anyway? Are you okay? I'm always so happy to see you. Half the time I just rattle on, and it's not till you're walking out of here like Van Gogh that I realise I've chewed your ear off and not even asked you how you're doing. You should give me a good nudge in the ribs if I do that in future. And sorry I had to move your visit around to this week. That was completely on me. I forgot I was taking Catrick to the vets for a checkup. She's healing well, aren't you? Yeah. She's still stiff as a taxidermy cat at the moment, but she'll be back on her feet and causing mischief in no time. Ooh, speaking of mischief, I had a lovely chat with the Mistress of Mayhem herself this week, Nikki Druce. Nikki is the brains behind the Macabre London podcast and YouTube channel, where she delves into all the spooky, haunted history of London, from the big stories and events to the lesser-known tales that perhaps didn't make it into the history books. It was nice to chat to someone who's got a niche interest or passion, like I have, you know? I mean, apart from talking to you, I don't really talk to many people about this place anymore. Well, not since I got a bit of a reputation after that speed dating event in the village. Oh, I'm telling you, I learnt the hard way that asking what's your favourite smell, it's not the best way to make new friends round here. Then again, nor was necking six whiskies with a pickled egg chaser, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, it was so lovely chatting to Nikki about her life and her loves, and I was absolutely delighted that she had the time to bottle a scent with me. She said it reminds her of how she came to love eerie London history in the first place. And I've got it right here. It's the smell of fake smoke. Not real smoke, like we had with Nico a few weeks back. Fake smoke. Here. Have a whiff of this.
To me, the smell is very sickly sweet smelling. It doesn't smell like actual smoke, which is what you would expect it to smell like. It's more sort of powdery, kind of almost baby powder smelling, really. One of those sort of almost tactile smells as well. When fake smoke is squirted out into the air from wherever it's coming from, it's kind of quite cold because it's dry ice. It's a smell that you can feel. It evokes a feeling of, like, not fear as such. A lot of nervousness, but kind of a good nervousness. Obviously, good nervousness is always excitement. For me, it just makes me have that sense of anticipation that something is about to happen. Whatever that may be. It's very exciting. So when I was about 12 years old, me, my mum and my gran and my sister went on a trip to London. For us, that was quite an exciting thing because we were from Hayling Island, which is a very tiny little town. We were off to Madame Tussauds, And I didn't know anything about Madame Tussauds at all. Like, it had never been explained to me what this place was. And I remember, like, not really knowing anything about the celebrities that were in there. Obviously, I recognised a few of them, but didn't massively know who anybody was. I was more overtaken by, like, the artistry of how the waxworks were made and things. So we were wandering around, and then when we got to the end of it, I could hear this bell ringing. And I was thinking, what's that? And it turned out that this was the bell that was sounding the arrival into the Chamber of Horrors. And so we were stood at the top of the staircase where it has all these big signs. And it says, do not enter, enter like at your own risk. My sister, who was a right scaredy cat, didn't want to go. So my gran and my sister stayed upstairs. And I remember us walking down, had kind of fake stones and fake cobbles on the walls to sort of make it look like a dungeon as you walk down. And as you went down in there, I remember the fake smoke drifting up the stairs, filling your nostrils. And it feeling like that kind of real sickly sweet smell, but knowing that something was going to happen. So it was quite exciting. And you could hear the bell tolling over the top of you. They had kind of dotted around little figures that were on these cobbled streets that were all backlit. They were all silhouetted, so you didn't know whether they were actual people or not. And that's what made it really scary, because you didn't know somebody's going to jump out at you. I remember seeing two men holding like a Hessian sack, which was a body. And I was looking at them thinking, well, I don't know who they are. So I walked past. And then the next one was like a woman that had been slain and like dismembered. And there was a man with a cloak and a top hat leaning over the top of her. And then there were sort of tableaus set out. Strange rooms, I can say. One of them was a guy who was stood at the end of a bath, looking over this bath with somebody that was in it, and their legs were over the edge and the water was bubbling inside the bath. I remember that very clearly as well. The next one was the one that still really sticks with me to this day. Feels like a little triangle of that scene is stuck in my mind and it's never going to go. It was a guy who was stood there with a paintbrush redecorating his kitchen, and then behind him there was a kitchen cupboard that had like just a little cutout in the wall, and you could see little bags in there that were stuffed full of body parts. So I remember kind of standing there and just sort of staring at this scene and trying to take in exactly what it was. Like, I knew that this person was in the Chamber of Horrors because they'd done something bad, but I didn't know their individual stories. That was really intriguing. So it's like, who are you and what have you done and why is this here? It really just opened up my mind to the fact that there's a whole scary world out there that's like grown-ups that actually do stuff like this, and I had no idea about it. Coming out of that on the way home, I remember still having the smell of the fake smoke on your clothes and like in your hair, and then speaking to my mum on the train on the way back. And just saying, well, who were all these people? Because like, obviously they have little signs next to them, but it's dark and it's scary. So you're not going to be hanging around in there to find out who they are. I just remember her like telling me the story of the men carrying the body, which was Burke and Hare. And obviously Jack the Ripper was the second one. The Brides in the Bath Killer. And then the last one was 10 Rillington Place, the murders that were done there. About 2 years later, school were arranging a trip for us to go to London Dungeon, so when I was about 14. We were stood in the queue to go into the London Dungeon. And I remember being really scared because I started to smell the fake smoke that was wafting out from underneath the doors. But everybody else kind of laughing and joking around. And I just remember standing there thinking, oh God, this is going to be terrible. You guys don't know what's behind those doors, do you? As you're going through London Dungeon, it's quite discombobulating, really. You don't know what's coming up next, so it's a little bit anticipation-wise. You don't know whether it's going to get scarier or if you're going to get a bit of reprieve. And so, obviously, they walk you through all these different historical scenes, and you're kind of flung into these different historical situations. And then sporadically they have actors sort of hidden in places that suddenly just sort of appear from places and just kind of like disappear back in again. And seeing that and knowing all the stuff about the serial killers that I'd learnt from the Chamber of Horrors and then obviously afterwards from reading books, that was scarier for me because I was like, oh, well, maybe these might actually be people that are here to harm you. It was a little bit kind of terrifying. I remember getting to the end of the experience, and it used to finish with the French Revolution and an execution by guillotine. And as you stood there, the lights went out just as the blade fell. And then you were squirted with the blood. And I remember having a droplet of the blood land on my hand and thinking to myself, right, I'm going to keep this droplet of blood on here because I want to find out if it's real blood. And then leaving, like, and coming outside and going, oh, it's just water. How disappointing. After going to the Chamber of Horrors and also the London Dungeon, I've always just really loved London history, and the spookier the better, really. As soon as the smell of fake smoke hits my nose, then I know that somebody's gone to the effort of building a world. So they've putting effort into building that atmosphere. Just takes me back to when I was 12. I feel slightly nervous, but excited. It's like, oh, something fun's going to happen now. For me, it's always going to be that slight scare of somebody waiting around the corner to say boo.
Boo. Sorry, couldn't resist. I thought I'd lost you there. Your eyes went all wide and glazed like a Dunkin' Donut. That's got to be one of the most haunting scents we've uncorked so far, hasn't it? I love it. Because we all remember those creepy ghost stories from our childhoods and the first horror films that made an impact on us, don't we? It was the original Halloween by John Carpenter that did my nerves in. I should never have watched it. I still can't to this day. And to be honest, I'll die happy knowing I'll never see Michael Myers and his pasty face again. I was like Nikki's sister when I was younger, though. A right terrified little goat I was. I used to sit on the stairs on my own while my family watched The Incredible Hulk. Do you remember the TV series? It was basically a man with a bad fringe and green paint dripping off him. Pathetic. But even that was too much for me. Even film trailers would send me spinning. So why on earth I thought I could handle Halloween, I'll never know. I suppose it's because it felt like a rite of passage in a way. An intense curiosity of this adult world like Nikki had after the Chamber of Horrors. You know the drill. You'd go to a friend's house for a sleepover, which was basically code for a night of scaring yourself shitless watching horror films and eating Pringles and strawberry laces till you popped. And strictly no sleep allowed. Unless it was a carb coma from all the Pringles, then that was okay. But it's an odd feeling to be fascinated by what we fear, isn't it? Glued to the screen, blanket tugged up tight. Excited and terrified all at once. Some of us love it, thrive on it. Some hate it. And some of us peek over the blanket, knuckles clenched in fright. But keep that chain firmly on the door just in case. Especially at night. For Nikki, it sparked a sense of deep intrigue. A tingle of terror that was eclipsed by an overwhelming feeling of fascination for the stories unfolding before her eyes. So good on her for taking that tingle and turning it into a career. Come to think of it, you could check out her Macabre London podcast on the way home if you get a chance, couldn't you? You might like it. And thanks for keeping me company. And keep spreading the word about the olfactory for me. I really appreciate you sharing it. And don't forget, make sure you have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you, because I'd love to hear it. As you know, there's plenty of room on the shelves yet. And in the meantime, write to me at theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me. And Katrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later. Yeah.